Hashtag blessed. You often see this on social media. Picture shared on Facebook of the perfect family on the perfect mountain on the perfect day with the perfect snow. The sun is shining, everyone's smiling, teeth are gleaming, skis are perfectly waxed. Hashtag blessed. Or you see it on a celebrity's Instagram post when she's sitting in the VIP lounge of an exclusive Miami Beach club sipping a mango martini. Hashtag blessed. If the word blessed means sacred or set apart by God, I'm not sure this is really what we're talking about here. A more authentic representation of what's being conveyed in these posts might be bragging or rich. But it's hard to contradict someone who claims to be blessed without sounding like you're simply jealous. It's almost as if those sharing pictures of their precious corgi sitting on the deck of their yacht are using blessed to inoculate themselves from criticism. Or perhaps they genuinely believe that this is how God works. That when God truly loves someone, God conveys fancy vacations and mango martinis. Come here, Isla. Come here. Come here. Come here. We'll see if this works. Sometimes it does. Come here. Come on. Okay. Okay. So how's that? Yeah. All right. Okay. Very good. All right. I'm not going to talk for too long, don't worry. But from a theological perspective, Jesus makes it clear that luxurious living is not actually the hallmark of blessedness. Time and time again, Jesus subverts the prevailing wisdom of the day that wealth was an outward and visible sign of God's love and blessing, while poverty was an outward and visible sign of God's wrath. That's simply not how God works. Even if that's what some television preachers would have you believe and what some Facebook posts imply. And we need look no further than the Beatitudes to see how Jesus flips this whole notion on its head. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you. Those don't sound like very Instagrammable or Instagram-worthy posts, do they? No, they don't to me. You don't often see people standing on food lines or weeping over the casket of a loved one using the hashtag blessed. And yet Jesus is very clear. Is this not working? Really? Come on. Look, this is what we're going to do later. And you will be blessed later in a few minutes. All right, come on. You want mom? I know. All right. It's all good. It's all good. Where was I? I was talking about blessing and baptism and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is very clear that these are precisely the ones who are blessed, the poor and the hungry, those who weep, those who are hated. These are the ones upon whom God bestows blessings, the powerless and the vulnerable, the oppressed and the marginalized, the ones who by the world's standards are the least and the weak, the lost and the lonely. And I'm reminded of the Simon and Garfunkel song Blessed off the Sounds of Silence album. It's a rather obscure song. It's not one of their big hits like Mrs. Robinson, or Bridge Over Troubled Water, or Cecilia. But the song invokes the Beatitudes and includes the line, Blessed are the sat upon, spatted, no, blessed are the sat upon, spat upon, ratted on. The story goes that Paul Simon was wandering around London in the mid-1960s when he stepped into a cathedral to get in out of the rain, and he heard a sermon being preached on the Beatitudes. The lyrics matched the despair of the music as Simon sings, "O Lord, why have you forsaken me?" Words spoken by Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. It's a haunting song precisely because Simon reflects upon the poverty-stricken people he had seen trudging down the street. And the homeless folks he stepped over to enter the cathedral and doesn't see any earth inheriting going on. He doesn't see hope, but only hopelessness. He doesn't see blessedness, but only despair. And when you look around, it certainly doesn't appear that God's blessing is upon the family of Guatemalan refugees fleeing violence in their homeland, or the political prisoner wasting away in a North Korean jail, or the child drinking lead-infused water in Flint, Michigan, or the strung-out addict shivering on the methadone mile at 3 a.m. And yet, if blessing is a sign of God's presence, that's precisely where God resides, in the tears of those who weep, in the hunger pangs of those who go without, in the hurt of those who are rejected. That's where God is most fully present. That's why Jesus entered the world in human form, to comfort and console, to lift up and love. Blessed are the poor, but woe to the rich, Jesus says. So where does that leave us? Now you can slice and dice how you define rich, but by any global measurement, the vast majority of us do fall into that category. I mean, nearly half the world lives on less than $5 a day. But it's important to recognize that woe doesn't mean cursed or cast into outer darkness or banished to eternal damnation. The Beatitudes aren't intended to bless the poor and curse the comfortable. But by using the phrase, "woe to those who are rich," Jesus is holding up a giant yellow caution sign to those of us with relative wealth and privilege. Not that we aren't blessed as well. Not that the comfortable aren't included in the expansive embrace of God's love for all humanity. But the blessing doesn't come from those outward signs of prosperity. You know, on All Saints Sunday, we're going to try this one more time. Come here. That's fine. Come here. Come here. On All Saints Sunday, we celebrate all of the great saints of the church, and we see them. We're surrounded by them in stained glass and statues. And one of the things to remember about the saints is that they were human. They were utterly human. They weren't perfect. They weren't without sin. They were sinners just like you and me. And somehow I find that just so comforting. The fact that these people were, yes, immortalized in stained glass, but that's annoying. But immortalized, but sometimes we forget that they're not immobilized. And that is one of the great blessings. And so I encourage you to be reminded that you are all blessed, not by the fancy vacations that you may take, not by any outward sign of of prosperity, but simply because God loves you. God loves you deeply and fully and with reckless abandon. And that is the kind of blessing that we are going to celebrate, and we hope that we convey through the sacrament of baptism, and that we convey by gathering week after week in this place. We gather, we are blessed, and then we send forth those blessings to the world. Amen. All right. Why don't we have the baptismal families, the parents and godparents, come on up.